You're listening to Sports Overnight Weekend.
It's time now for the Combat Sports Update, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or at WBOboxing.com. Take it away, Taco Man.
Pound for pound in the history of boxing, there's never been a greater boxer or a greater fighter than the great Roberto Duran. Hands of stone, manos de pietra, of course, out of Panama. Won the lightweight championship back in 1972 when he stopped, of course, the defending champion from Scotland, Ken Buchanan, with a borderline low blow. Of course, went on, defended that title a record number of times, and then moved up to 147, skipped 140, moved straight to 147, took on Sugar Ray Leonard, beat him for the World Welterweight Championship back in 1980. Of course, then stepped up, lost that title to Leonard a few months later in the big No Mas fight when they rushed him back into a fight after only giving him 8 weeks to lose 60 pounds. How do you lose 60 pounds in 8 weeks? But the great Roberto Duran did it, made the weight, but didn't fight too well. Of course, that great night, the No Mas fight down there in New Orleans at the Superdome. Straight up, he moved up to 154 pounds, beat Davey Moore, of course, for the title, 1983. Then in 1986, of course, he came, take that back, in 1984, came so close to winning the World Middleweight Championship against the great Marvin Hagler. Of course, he convinced Sugar Ray Leonard with that performance to come back and fight Marvin Hagler, which Ray Leonard did another 2.5, 3 years later back in 1987. But straight up, Duran wasn't done. He came back, and in 1987, 1988, he beat the man that beat Tommy Ahrens. He knocked out Tommy Ahrens. We're talking about one punch. Iran the Blade Barker, the biggest middleweight in the history of boxing, folks. I kid you not. He walks around, and he wasn't fat at 220 pounds. He fought at heavyweight, fought guys like Jerry Cosio, but the Blade, Iran the Blade Barkley, fell in February of 1988 in the 12th round, got knocked down with the most beautiful four-punch combination a man can throw. I'm talking about the great Roberto Duran. Of course, after that, it was sort of downhill for Duran, but then again, he was way, way, way past his peak. But the fact that Roberto was able to move up from 122 pounds originally in 1967 and finish his career at 168 or 175, and, of course, that was in 2003, 2004. God, he fought a long time. But at the end of the day, there was no better fighter ever. I mean, I've looked at history. I've looked at films. I've studied Jack Johnson. I've studied Joe Louis. I've studied Sugar Ray Robinson. I've studied Ray Leonard. Nobody comes close to the great Roberto Duran. He just had it all, folks. The ferocity, the meanness. I mean, I had to love his when they used to translate for him on TV, say something like, "Well, Roberto," they'd ask him a question. "Roberto, what do you think of your opponent?" "Well, I think he's a piece of crap and his wife's a prostitute," and things like that. That's why he'd say it in different words, right? And then the translator would come back and say, "Roberto loves the man. He thinks his wife is a nice lady." I mean, that's just the way it was. Duran used to say these nasty, nasty things during these interviews. And his translator, the great late Luis Enriquez, used to say some off-the-wall stuff that wasn't nowhere close to what Roberto Duran said. But the reason why I'm bringing up the great Roberto Duran is he hasn't passed. No. He turned 65 years old this week. June 16th, 1951, the great Roberto Duran born in the barrios of Panama City, the most famous Panamanian of all time, pound for pound, as I said, the greatest fighter of all time. Happy birthday to the great Roberto Duran. Now let's shift gears. Let's talk a little boxing, of course, boxing on TV tonight. But, you know, NBC doing their thing. But then again, NBC's got fighters that people really don't care about. That's the problem with television is if you don't put fighters on their names, people don't want to watch. But then again, how can you make names if you don't put them on television? It's a catch-22 type of thing here in boxing. And, of course, I'm talking about my man, Al Haymon, premier boxing champion, of course, trying to do his thing, trying to put boxing back on network television. More power to him. I mean, no doubt about it. Got to give him his props. He's done it. He's brought boxing back to the masses. But have the masses responded? I don't know. That's still an open question. We'll figure that one out. Of course, him and his backers have put together $455 million, almost $500 million, in order to get his boxing program, Premier Boxing Champions, off and running. Of course, they are in their second year now. I guess they're, 15, 16 months into it. They've got contracts with CBS, NBC. They haven't done fights on ABC. That's the only network they haven't done anything on. Bounce TV, USA Cable. I mean, straight up, they're all over the place. And I got to tell you, Al Haymon is good for boxing, in that he brings boxing back to the masses and they don't have to pay for it. Of course, he's got the competition. They're all pissed off about it. I'm talking about promoters Bob Arum and guys like that. The old school establishment, they feel threatened. And why not? Because he's trying to take away. No. He is successfully taking away their pay-per-view dollar. In other words, you shouldn't have a pay-per-view once a month. Let's check as the UFC rips everybody off. And I say that time and time again, because I don't think you deserve to come up with a pay-per-view event a month. You just can't. I mean, even in the world of mixed martial arts, even with world title fights and, you know, the select few that you've got in the UFC that are household names, not too many anymore. Ronda Rousey getting licked like a stamp by Holly Holm. Holly Holm getting beat up by Miesha Tate. Miesha Tate having lost twice to Ronda Rousey. Of course, Conor McGregor getting lit up like the White House Christmas tree by Nate Diaz. I can go on and on. But the bottom line is the UFC not doing all that way as far as their stars are concerned. Of course, they got that big lawsuit coming at them. Zuffa Sports being sued by former fighters Kung Lee, Nate Corey, Kyle Kingsbury, et al., and others in a class action lawsuit claiming that the UFC is nothing more than a slave plantation. Is it? Is it a slave plantation? Well, I've told you about how the money is supposedly divvied up over there, right? 88% of the money goes to the fighters. Yeah, right. No. It don't go to the fighters. 88% of the money goes to the Zuffas, to the Fertittas, the Zuffa sports people, the Fertittas. Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta are the majority owners. Dana White has 10%, and the Dubai government has 13%. So outside of 23%, the Zuffa Sports is owned by the Fertitta brothers. Of course, they own the casinos down there in Las Vegas, the station casinos, this big slew of them. They're billionaires, no doubt about it. But do they really need to take all that money from the fighters? Do fighters really need to end up with only 12% of the entire take? That doesn't sound right to me. And you know what? I don't think that there's a union around that can get together and organize for fighters, because they tried to do this with a boxers union that was associated with the Teamsters a few years ago, and that just didn't work. Straight up, big-time problems in the world of mixed martial arts as far as representation is concerned. Now, Bellator had a card on Friday night on Spike TV, and for that, we take it to Galveston, Texas, to bring on man Christian. Christian, what happened last night in that bantamweight title fight?
Well, all I knew about the bantamweight title fight was that Eduardo Dantas defeated Marcos Loyal Galvao.
But he did it in impressive fashion, man. I watched it. I mean, 50-4, one of the score he had. He won by 7 points on one card.
Yeah, I think, I mean, to be honest, even though I didn't watch the fight, it surprised me when Dantas defeated Galvao because of how closely contested they were in their first fight, huh?
Yeah, you know, but you got to give them props, and it was a good fight for five rounds. I'm glad that Bellator is showing these five-round fights. They've got to be five-round fights. In other words, you know, when they did that three-round main event down there in San Jose with King Mo and the guy from the USA, can't think of his name right now, when they did a fortnight ago, that three-round fight, it's just you got to have five rounds in the main event. You just have to. Don't you agree?
Come to think of it, I don't really agree all too much on that. Let me tell you why. Because I understand with five-round non-title fights in main events, you're preparing guys for that eventual opportunity for a title fight. But then again, you're also going to put exhaustion on these fighters, putting them in five-round title fights. Not to mention the fact that if the venue you're running at has a strict curfew, people are probably going to feel deprived because they don't want to sit around for 25 minutes looking at two guys or two girls slug each other out.
See, I think you're wrong on that one. I think that's why the UFC in the world of MMA has caught on the way it has. In fact, that they combine a championship fight into 25, take it back 29 minutes for an entire title fight with the UFC, counting the minutes in between. 29 total minutes. A world championship in 29 minutes. Of course, a world championship boxing match now is 36, 47 minutes. So there's a big difference in a world championship boxing match in MMA. But I think these five rounds, sort of separates the men from the boys, much like the 10-minute opening round back in the Pride days. And speaking of Pride, with this new promotion they've got in Japan, is there a 10-minute opening round in that?
Well, to be honest, when it comes down to the men's fights in the Rising Fighting Federation, whose next event is in September, yeah, they do 10-minute opening rounds and 5-minute second and third rounds if necessary.
But you know what? To go 10 minutes, I mean, good. Tito Ortiz has told me they don't believe in rounds. All these guys don't believe in rounds. Don Fry told me one time he doesn't believe in rounds. Of course, Don Fry, former Pride guy. Remember when Ken Shamrock threw that ankle lock on him and broke his leg in like three spots and he wouldn't tap? Do you remember that? Do you remember that submission or that attempted submission?
I don't really remember that. But
that was before your time, man. That was before your time, my friend. No doubt about that. But straight up, we're talking Bellator. Bellator is going to come back, of course. Kimbo Slice has bit the dust. Rampage Jackson going to come back next week here, of course. Is Rampage, can he fight anymore?
I don't think that he I mean, I don't think he's past his prime, but the fact that Scott Coker paired Rampage up with a great opponent in Satoshi Ishii, who's more known for being a punching bag than anything, to the stars, I mean, it's a great test for Rampage to, you know, get some muscle back, get his name back up, because he says he wants to bulk up and be a heavyweight, because, to be honest, who wants to see him fight at light heavyweight anymore, really?
Good point. Christian, I thank you for the call. That is your Combat Sports Update brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. Don't forget, you can catch the WBO on Facebook or join them on their website, WBOboxing.com.